Oops.
There we go.
Yeah, thanks, Joanne. This is Bill Rentz again, and I just want to overview the purpose of the call tonight. We're getting together on this telecourse to assist you to improve your leadership by presenting our best ideas on leadership and by asking you to invent and commit to new ways you can be a more effective leader. We're asking you to examine ways that you can handle stress, manage money, and solve problems. And, of course, tonight's call is the focus is going to be on managing money. We will also preview the last leadership call and the upcoming leadership training that we'll hold in Sonoma, California, June 1 through 3.
I really want to thank you for being on the call. This is Dave Ellis. These are really fun for me. I've been doing conference calls for the last 10 years, and we've never opened them up to people who weren't in our workshops and in our trainings. And this is the first time this month that we've opened up these calls to not only the people that are going to be coming to our June training or one of our trainings, but just to anybody who might be interested. We did it because we realized that so much of the material that we cover in the training can be covered in these calls. So those of you who are on the call and have already signed up for the training, this is a good chance for you to get a preview of where we're headed. But I know a lot of you, the majority of you on this call, you aren't able to make it to the June training, or at least you haven't signed up yet. And this is still an opportunity to get a glimpse of what we're teaching leaders and what we're asking leaders to do for 3 days when we get together. And I'm really excited about this particular call because the focus, as Bill mentioned, is about money. And to me, leaders and the way that we interact with money can make a huge difference in the communities that we lead. So whether you're leading your family, or whether you're leading your friends, or many of you are leading organizations. Some of you, of course, are leaders in your church. Some of you are leaders in government, the political arena. So whatever your leadership role, or whatever leadership role you imagine taking, I think that how you handle money and how your organization or the group you're leading handles money is a real critical piece of being able to achieve the goals that you want. Now, of course, there are a few groups or a few of you in your leadership that your goal is really tied to money, and that's why you're a leader, because you're leading in the domain of money. But I know that for most of you, that's not your leadership role. You're either leading a family to be more loving and inclusive, or you're leading your friends to be more fun and joyful, or your church to be more serving, or your organization to reach more people. I know all of your leadership goals are diverse, but the ability to handle money effectively and to reach financial independence, I believe, is going to make a huge difference in your leadership. So thanks for joining the call, and I really appreciate your being here with me to not only explore your own leadership, but with me invent new ways that we can assist everybody to be a great leader.
This is Joanne, and I'd like to talk about the format of these calls. This call will primarily be in the form of questions and answers. Bill and I will ask Dave several questions, some of which he knows are coming, some will be surprises, and we want many of you to also ask Dave questions. Of course, all of those will be surprises. Please keep your questions or comments brief so we can hear from many of you. This is a new format for us, and like with everything, we welcome your feedback. So, Dave, I'd like to start with our first question.
All right. Thanks, Joanne.
Yeah. So this is about financial independence. And are you talking about financial independence for the leader himself or for the whole organization?
Yes. Yes, I am. I know that was a short question, but I really want to answer it with an and, because what I'm asking all of you who are listening on this call, and of course I'm asking myself this too, and Bill and Joanne and all my coworkers on this call and all the people who have been to workshops and those that haven't, and all of you who I know well and those that I don't know well, I'm asking all of you to invent to invent ways to be financially independent for yourself and for the group or organization that you're leading. Because I firmly believe that your family can become financially independent in a very brief amount of time. Your church can. Your friendship circle can. Your organization, whether it be for-profit or not-for-profit, can be financially independent in a relatively short amount of time. So the answer is yes, Joanne. Financial independence for each of you on the call, for the other leaders you know, and for the groups that you're leading.
Well, you've titled this call Reaching Financial Independence. That seems like a huge goal, and it seems like it would take years. How is it possible? I mean, I believe you when you say it, but I just want to know, how is that possible?
Well, part of it's possible because I don't define financial independence the same way everybody does. And actually, that's where I want to start. I want to start this call with an exercise. I'd like you all to take 30 seconds, a moment or two, and I'm going to be quiet for 30 seconds. And during that time, what I want you to do is write down your definition of financial independence. Now, of course, there are over 60 people on this call right now, so we'll probably have 60 different definitions. But I'd like you to do it. Just take the 30 seconds and write down your definition of financial independence, so you know how you'll reach it or when you'll reach it. You'll know if it's reached because you've defined it. So right now, I'll be quiet. 30 seconds, write down your definition of financial independence for yourself and or for the group you lead. Please go ahead. In the recording, he's right. Now, as you're finishing, what I'd like to do is to have a few of you hit *61 on your phone, and we'll call on you, and then you tell us your definition, just one definition, kind of a short, brief definition of financial independence. From your point of view, how you know if you or your organization or group that you're leading, whether it be a family or a group of friends or a social group that you've put together to achieve something, how you know when you've achieved financial independence. Please, all right. We'll call on you. And I'm not sure I've got your number, but you're from San Francisco, so go ahead and tell me your first name and your definition.
Hi, Dave. This is Craig, and the definition that I wrote down for financial independence is that I have saved enough money to work as much or as little as I want.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah. Reminds me a lot of Your Money or Your Life, this wonderful book by a friend of mine, Vicki Robbins. And her whole point is that all of us can actually achieve that definition within a few years. Somebody else.
Monica, go ahead.
This is Monica calling in from San Francisco, and my definition is a feeling that there is enough, a feeling that there is abundance.
Yeah. I really like this one because it's an experiential definition. It's her feeling. It's her sense. It's her experience of abundance. Here are a couple more. What's your definition of financial independence? Raise your hand to *61. As Bill said, we've got a list of all your phone numbers. And in front of me and in front of Bill and Joanne, we also have a list of all your phone numbers so that we can see the name associated with that phone number. And that's how Joanne knew that that was Monica.
Sean,
Shirley, go ahead. Ask your question, please. Shirley Martin?
Yes, my definition was doing what I want, whether it's study, travel, living in the home I want, or serving others, and being able to pay for any of that without any stress, worry, or fear.
Oh, that's great. So doing what I want without stress, worry, or fear. Yeah. Thank you.
Aslam,
one more.
Go ahead. Aslam, or is it Manju?
Area code 503, go ahead.
Oh, fuck.
All right. I think we can take one more. As soon as you hear you're from area code 407, just go ahead and tell us your definition.
Hi, this is Alex Walton from Winter Park, Florida.
Hey, Alex. Good to hear from you.
Hi. It's good to hear from you again. Engineering-wise, I see it as a positive cash flow. It doesn't require work hours. I've set up my life where the output on a yearly basis is less than what's going in, and then I can spend my hours on whatever is most important to me.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. So all these are great definitions. I know that there are as many definitions as there are people on the call. And so far with each of those definitions, I stand firm. I claim that you can reach financial independence in a relatively short amount of time. Now, what's that, relatively short? Well, for some of you, I think it's a matter of weeks. I know that sounds too outlandish. It almost sounds like some late-night infomercial where I'm trying to sell you something that's going to cost you a lot of money. Well, I'm not. I'm actually only trying to sell you 24 of my best ideas, and I'm going to give them away to you free on this call. But I believe that in a relatively short amount of time, when you get clear about what you want with financial independence, you can achieve that. Again, for some of you, that short amount of time would be weeks, for some of you, months. But I believe that for all of you, so far, any definition that I've heard, you can achieve it within a few years. And on the road to achieving it, you can get closer and closer to it, so much so that money stops becoming one of your major considerations. And so much so that money stops becoming one of the major considerations of your organization or group that you're leading. So that's my definition of financial independence. Here it is. But I believe you've achieved financial independence when you and the groups that you are leading have as only a minor consideration money when you make choices. So here it is again. I believe that you've reached financial independence, or your group has, when you make choices and money is only a minor consideration. Now, it's not that you don't consider it. Of course you consider it. But it's not one of the main things that you consider. It's just maybe the third or fourth consideration, or it might be the fifth or tenth consideration. So when you're making choices, mostly what you're considering is your purpose. It's what do you want? But that's what you're considering, not how much will it cost, or how much will it save me, or how much will I make from it. Those are the three questions that so often people ask. How much will it cost? How much will I make by doing it? Or how much will I save if I do it? Now, it's not that there's a problem, in my opinion, with those three questions. It's just that I recommend that those three questions be almost inconsequential, or at least the fourth or fifth or tenth consideration when you make the choice. But mostly you're making the choice from your passion, your desire, your purpose. As I mentioned on the first call, I believe that leaders are people who want something so badly that they will ask other people to get it for them. Leaders are people who want something so badly that they'll ask others to also want it and to spend their time and energy and money to get it. So those are some of the
Dave,
my definition of financial independence. Yes, go ahead, Joanne.
Dave, I was going to say, you just said you've got 24 strategies on how to do it, and I'm wondering if you would give us some of those.
Yeah, I will. Thank you, Joanne. That's really what I want to be here for. And when I present these, because obviously we've only got another 40 minutes left on this call, so I can't elaborate in length. That's part of why I've recorded this call, so you can go back if you like them and listen to them. But more importantly, I'm not giving you these ideas like a teacher giving students the right answer. Part of why I've got 24 ideas. And when we go through these, those of you who are coming to the training, we'll spend a good solid day on these. But again, they won't be ideas like as a teacher giving them to students, but rather as a co-creator inventing. So please listen to them like that. And I'll first of all give you my first two best ideas. And actually, I have this point of view that if you use these first two ideas, the rest of them will be not nearly as important. You can darn near reach financial independence with just these first two ideas alone. And similarly, I think these first two ideas are so powerful that if you don't use them, the rest of the ideas aren't going to work very well. So, Joanna, let me give you these first two ideas, and then we can open it up and get people to comment. First idea is to celebrate your wealth. It's to celebrate your wealth so completely and fully, consistently, that you actually change your point of view to the point of view that you live like royalty. Because I actually believe that. I think that we all live like royalty. We live better than 99.9% of all the humans who have ever lived. Most of us on this call live better than 99% of the humans that are living on the planet right now. Now, I know there's a few of you that are only living better than 98% of the people on the planet. But now I'm talking about material lifestyle. Now, I'm talking about money because that's what we're talking about. And I'm recommending that you celebrate your money so frequently and completely. You celebrate your financial worth, your material abundance. Celebrate it so consistently and constantly that you actually get to reality. And I claim that most of us aren't living in reality. Most of the people that I come in contact with in terms of money, they are not living in reality as defined by any measure of history or geography, which is we're living like royalty. We are the most abundant class of people on the planet that ever has been. So that's my first one. More about that later. Now, I know that for a few of you, you think, oh, no, I'm better than average, but that's all I am. Because that's what most people think in America, that they're about average or a little bit above. But it's just not accurate. So anyway, that's the first piece. Now, of course, if you get to that piece, and if you move yourself authentically to a place where you actually do believe you live like royalty, well, for many of you, you've then reached financial independence. But here's idea number two. Determine in great detail regarding money, what do you want? In great detail, write it down with numbers and specifics and timelines and dates. About 13 years ago, I created a 30-year budget for myself. It was one of the most powerful, empowering strategies that I've ever done. I actually put together a spreadsheet. I put together how much money I wanted to be worth every year for the next 30 years, how much money I was going to spend, how much money I was going to save, how much money I wanted to make. And that's what I recommend that you do. In great detail. Now, some of you are going to think, well, how would I possibly know? Well, you can't know. But that's not, for me, what a good budget's about. A good budget is not a prediction. A good budget is a direction. It's a creation. It's an invention of where you want to head. So you want to reach financial independence. In addition to defining it like we did a few minutes ago, define it with real dollars. So you define what kind of debt you want to have every year for the next 30 or 50 years. What kind of income, active and passive, Alex talked about passive income. How much passive income do you want every year for the next 30 years? How much active income? How much savings, investments, low risk, high risk? How much expenses, personal expenses, family expenses, organization expenses, contribution of philanthropy expenses? In every domain of money, what do you want? So I know, Joanne, that's kind of a long answer, particularly if I'm going to do 24 ideas to four, but or to the first two, but there we go.
Well, that was just perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for, is to start getting into those 24. And I'm going to turn this over to Bill in just a minute, but I thought it would be great to hear back from the participants. So I want to open up the phone lines and ask you to hit star 61 to raise your hand and just hear back from some of you. Also, I just ask that you limit your comments to about a half a minute so we can hear from several people. So please raise your hand, and the three of us will call on you. Let's see.
First person is Lori Eagles. Lori, you got a question?
Go ahead, Lori.
I think that was from before.
Oh, okay. Well, nice to hear it from you.
Thank you. It's not just questions that I want. Also, I'd love to hear any comments you have about it. I mean, I know that those first two ideas for some of you maybe are not even satisfying, and for some of you it might be satisfying but unusual. So comments or questions? Star 61 raises your hand. While a few of you are raising your hand, I just want to say again that the kind of celebration I'm talking about is continual.
Dave, this is Taylor Molly in New York City, and I have a question for you. And that is, how can you, that first, celebrate your wealth, it sounds to me, and I feel like it sounds to other people, distasteful, because I feel you're asking us to throw money around and look like a fat cat wastrel, which seems repellent to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Taylor. And I think you know that I'm not, but I understand how that idea could manifest itself like that. But I think we can celebrate with our friends who already know the wonderful place that we exist financially. We can celebrate with our family, celebrate with our partners. You can celebrate with yourself. You can celebrate in your journal. It's a spirit of walking around and just basking in the material abundance that is everywhere in your life. Now, once in a while, it does look not like a fat cat throwing around his money, but rather a philanthropist throwing around her money. So once in a while, this celebration shows up as generosity, because that's another way that celebration can manifest itself. Thanks, Taylor.
Got another question from Penny Hazen. Sorry, Penny, I don't think I got your phone off there.
I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah,
here you are, Penny. Go ahead.
Okay, I unmuted, but it took a while for the machine to get through it. First of all, I love the idea of celebrating our wealth, especially when we so often feel like there's not enough. But when I do practice this and I'm really, really attuned to how grateful I am to everything around me, more abundance flows my way. The number two suggestion, I've never heard this before, and of course, it's a duh, you know, that's what we do in this work, but I've never thought about doing it with money, so it's a grand, grand idea, and I want to play with it and hear more about it. So, brilliant. Thank you.
Thanks, Penny. That's right. It's, you know, without being very clear about what you want. First of all, you won't even know if you got there. But secondly, your whole being, your whole unconscious soul won't know what to do every day to get you there.
Yeah,
and until you celebrate every step you've made, and until you celebrate each step along the way to that financial independence, you won't have the energy and motivation to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Great. I agree. I'm smiling. Thank you.
There's someone in the 415 area code. Please go ahead.
This is Peter in San Francisco. And I just want to, I have a comment actually, which is just that to me the first principle, Dave, is so essential because, you know, from my point of view, you have to come from a sense of sort of psychological and spiritual abundance to begin with. I don't feel that I can come from a sense of lack, like something's got to change, it's got to be better. That there needs to be a sense of equilibrium and fullness and ease and relaxedness in order to create wealth, actually, or to actually move forward. So I thank you for this principle. It's just a great place to start. I mean, I wonder if it's the first one.
Thanks, Peter.
Hi, Dave. Bill Renz. I'd like to hear some of your other 24 strategies.
We might have 40, but that'd be fun too.
Please come and finish.
Yeah.
I finished my soup.
Bloody, can you come back with me?
Now we're gonna turn people off of mute because or turn them on mute and my other ideas. Well, idea number three, and Taylor, this speaks a little bit to the concerns I think a lot of people have in celebrating, and your concern too, which is if we celebrate, doesn't it almost make us look like a braggart? And because of that, I think that money has become one of those topics that, like sex, religion, is really hard for people to talk about. As a matter of fact, in most circles that I've been in, money's actually harder for people to talk about than sex or religion or death. It's really difficult for most people to come clean about their financial situation. I think people have shame with regard to money. My idea, number three, which after you've gotten clear about what you want and celebrated, it's the next most powerful idea I know of, and that's to tell the truth. Now, telling the truth has become vogue for people who are gay or lesbians or bisexual or transgenders. I mean, it's in the last 10 to 20 years, it's become the thing to do, to come out of the closet if you have a sexual orientation that's different from the common people in America. And it's even become vogue to come out of the closet if you have a drug addiction or alcoholic addiction. But it's still not vogue to come out of the closet with regard to money. Most of our parents and grandparents have taught us to keep money to yourself. But I claim that when you hide anything, it disempowers your ability to act in the world. And until we come clean about money, both from an organizational standpoint and from a personal standpoint, it's really hard to move forward. In the organization that I started in 1981, and I'm continuing now, one of our principles that we've operated is that money is open. For years, I had about 55 employees, and every year we published everybody's salary. We published the company debt. We published the company's profit. We were as open or even we were more open than public companies, even though it was a private company. It was a private company. I owned all the stock. I owned it all. And we were more open than public companies with regard to our money. And we did it in order to have power about money. Years ago, when I first made a bunch of money, I grew up middle class or what people called middle class, of course, perspective of time. History and geography. I grew up wealthy, but in this small town in South Dakota, I think our family was an average income family. And, you know, my father had to borrow money for groceries and didn't have enough money to help me go to college. And, you know, my mother made clothes for my sisters because they didn't have enough money to buy them. So anyway, the point is we didn't have much money, and then all of a sudden I became a multimillionaire. And a man who I so respect said, okay, now what are you going to do? Are you going to tell the truth about that, or are you going to hide it? Because most wealthy people hide it. Most poor people hide it. Most people who have a lot of debt hide it. Most people who don't have any debt hide it. People are secretive about money. So my next idea, this number three idea, which is a tough one, because it so flies in the face of what we've been taught, I'm recommending that you start telling the truth about your situation, your debt, your income, your savings, your family money, your organization money, so that you compile a detailed and accurate reflection of your financial situation and then share it with at least three important people in your life. I'm not saying you go up to the checker at the grocery store and say, hey, you know, this is nothing to me because I've got $1 million in the bank. Or that you go up and when you buy your car, you say, oh, man, this is really tough because I'm already $53,000 in debt. Of course not. It's like anything. And it's like if you were revealing your sexual orientation, you wouldn't tell everybody, but you'd tell people close to you. If you were going to be honest about your religion because you were proud of it, you would tell people close to you. And that's what I'm recommending you start to do, is get past any shame and secrecy about money. Well, those of you who are coming to the training June 1, 2, and 3, be prepared for an assignment. Now, it's not a required assignment, but it will be an assignment of the workshop of the training. That in order to become more effective as a leader, you come out of the closet with regard to your financial situation and with regard to the financial situation of any group that you're leading. All right, that's idea number three. Idea number four is move toward love. And with regard to money, with regard to achieving financial independence, I say that the way you get there is you begin to love everything about money that you haven't loved, because people have such a love-hate relationship with it. I know that we act in some ways like we love money because we're, as a culture, we're always clamoring for it, and we're going after it, and we're trying to save it, we're trying to earn it. I claim, though, that it is, at this point, a love-hate, because we hate as a culture and as individuals as much as we love about it. And a lot of people hate having so much of it, or they hate people who have it. So I'm recommending you start loving all the rich people around you, which, of course, would be good for me because you'd even love me more. But I also encourage you to love all the poor people around you. Love the people who are in debt and don't shame them any more than they've shamed themselves. Love the people who live with very little. We sometimes call them cheap, but oh, what an antagonistic term. Don't call them cheap. Call them wise and frugal. And love them. Love the people that spend a lot. Love the people that spend a little. Love the people that save a lot. Love the people that don't save anything. In every domain, when you find something that you're resisting, that you're fighting about, love it. All right, I got one more idea, and then I'll open it up again. And I know I'm only to idea number five, and thinking to myself, how am I going to get 24? Well, I am. But I'm spending the most time on the ideas that I believe are the most valuable to assist you to achieve financial independence in a relatively short amount of time. And the ideas that are not only valuable, but you can implement immediately, and practice immediately. All right, here's idea number five, which is to lighten up. Really, just enjoy money. Laugh with it. Make it easy. Give up the resistance, the fight. Most people, again, when they do talk about money, and I said before, I don't think most people are willing to talk about money, but when they do talk about money, most of the people that I know make it so heavy. I mean, it is just a heavy, hard, complicated topic. It's got a lot of resistance, and you got it. So lighten up about it, laugh about it, celebrate it joyfully, dance with it, and don't make it so hard. Now let's go back to questions. Please raise your hand or comment. Star 61. We'll take a few. Please limit them to about 30 seconds or so, just so we can hear from several people. Please hit star 61, and then we'll unmute you on this end. And as soon as you hear that you're unmuted, then just go ahead, if somebody else isn't talking, and say your name, and we'll take your comment. These comments are the ways that I know that you're out there. Now, I actually, of course, still have a list. We can see when you come and go. That's really fun.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, who is it?
This is Julie, your sister.
Hi, Julie. Great to hear from
Hi.
You. Thanks for raising your hand.
I just want to thank you because, and I want to let everybody know that you truly practice what you're talking about in celebrating money, and I want to thank you for doing that for our family. It's made a huge difference in my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Now, you can also give testimony to the fact that Mom actually did make your clothes.
She had me make them, but she taught me how, so that was great. I sewed my own clothes, my own prom dresses.
Thanks, Julie. Go ahead, Shirley Martin.
Yeah, I just want to say your idea number three is, for me, probably right up there with the one and two. And for me, it's I know that's almost one of my starting places is just alongside because it feels like the balance to the number one. And I just want to thank you for that because I just feels like I've got a way through to get to the place of writing down all the details because I didn't know what the resistance was to writing down all the details, but I think it's your number three. So for me, it feels like number three balances number one, and if I can do those two, number two will actually come right into place. So thank you.
Welcome, Shirley. As soon as you're unmuted, just say your first name and go ahead and make your comment or question.
This is your brother, Bill. And I just want, you still owe me lots of money. Actually, I'm joking. It's not your other brother, Bill. It's Taylor again in New York City. And, Dave, I with number three, I can't decide whether you're a genius or you're insane. Tell the truth. If you could snap your fingers and have everybody's net worth appear on their chest like Hester Prynne's Scarlet A, would you do it?
Absolutely, Taylor. Absolutely. You know, if you walk into a room of men, Taylor, and you say, you go to a whole big room of men and you say, how big is yours? And they'll gasp, particularly if they think you're talking about their paycheck. That's how much shame we have about money. And yes, I'd have it right out there on everybody's chest. Their net worth or how much they owe. Just give it a shot with a few people, all of you. I'm not just talking to Taylor here. I'm talking to all of you. You know, it's not like you have to reveal your net worth to everyone or your debt to everyone or your income to everyone. Pick just a couple of people that you're close to. You know, and if you're really shy about this, and if you've really got what I call the ingrained shame of a culture, then go and find a therapist or a priest or a life coach, someone with whom will they have a confidential relationship, and just see what happens, how free it becomes.
Alex, go ahead.
This is Alex from Winter Park.
I find that when, Dave, I really agree with you as far as sharing with all the people that you care about. Sometimes you come across people, though, that will try to take advantage of whatever your situation is. And I've learned to be more quiet around those kind of folks. And the other thing, thought is that you can do this almost all the time, like celebrate and enjoy, and then suddenly a crisis hits. And you go into crisis mode for a month or two to batten down the hatches and to shut down the additional costs or whatever. But what you're reminding me is that as soon as you've taken control of that crisis is to step back into what you're saying here and fall back into the celebration. It's not that you can do this 100% of the time, but, you know, do it 90% of the time or 95% of the time.
Yeah. Thanks, Alex. And really, I want to remind you all that why I'm presenting these ideas, they are honestly my best ideas. Got my five best. I'm about to give you my 19 other ones. But I'm presenting these to spark your creativity, to open up your thinking. So here's idea number 6. Now, this is revolutionary. You think those other ideas are amazing. First of all, this idea number 6 doesn't work very well without idea number 5, which is to lighten up. But this is a revolutionary, almost un-American idea that will move you so fast to financial independence, it will make your head swim, particularly if you do idea number 6 after 1 through 5. Idea number 6 is this. Spend way less than you make. Spend way, way less than you make. So you start with spending 10% less than you make. Then spend 20% less than you make. And then spend 50% less than you make. Now, I know I've presented this idea so many times over the last 15 years, and I have gotten people so mad at me. I've never presented an idea that has achieved so much backlash. People just get outlandishly angry when they hear this idea. Because it's like, how dare you? I can't even make my bills. I can't even provide my family with what I want to provide them with. And you're suggesting I spend less than I now spend? You're suggesting that I get to the point where I'm actually spending half of what I make? That's an absurd idea from an elitist who has millions of dollars. Well, I'll tell you that this idea I've been practicing since before I had any money. I've been practicing this idea since my net worth was minus dollars. When my income was around $20,000 a year and I had 2 children and a wife that worked part-time, I practiced this idea of spending way less than I made. It is revolutionary. Say more about it at another time. But don't discount it. Idea number 7. Ask yourself if you can get what you want without the money. Very powerful. It's a great way to counteract the message of most advertising. You are bombarded. You know this. You are bombarded with ads. Billions of dollars are spent every year in America alone to deliver you thousands of the most psychologically powerful messages that you can imagine. Every day, and almost 95% of those messages that you are bombarded with, the most psychologically powerful, clever messages, the message behind them for you to spend money. And I'm recommending that instead you ask yourself constantly if you can get what you want without the money, if your organization can get what it wants without the money. And I believe that most of the time, the answer will be yes. All right, we're moving along now. Number 8, be careful of the little expenses. I know you've heard this one, but I'm saying really practice them. Daily lattes, lattes, daily lattes at $4.35 a piece times 350 days, because you wouldn't want one every day. It's $1,500. So you watch the small expenses. And then number 9 is watch the big expenses. be really careful of the major expenses, the house, the car, the trip, the new business, the new expansion of a business. Number 10, borrow less money you could sell it for. In other words, the way to say this is have no unsecured debt, so that all of your debt is secured debt. Well, I want to give you three more ideas, and I want to hear from a couple of you. So if you want to raise your hand, now would be a good time to do it. And I'll call on you in just a moment. And if you've raised your hand and don't want to raise it anymore,
hello?
You can just lower it. And but before you go, I want to present these next two ideas, and then I'll call on you that just got unmuted. So after, be careful of the big expenses, and then borrow less than you could sell it for. That means no unsecured debt. And I'm also recommending that you be responsible, first of all, for your own money, and then for the money of the people that you lead. So I'm recommending that you divide your money. And idea number 12 is that you take on partners, that you do not try to achieve financial independence alone, whether you're achieving it for your organization or for yourself. You take on partners. All right, now we'd like to hear from you before I present the last ideas. Go ahead. Called on someone a moment ago, and I'll try it again. If you hear yourself unmuted and you got a comment, go ahead and say your name and go ahead and speak.
Maria Charlin, did you have your hand up?
Hi, Bill. Marcia.
Marcia.
Yes, what I'm realizing from these ideas is that I have this super, I don't consider myself a superstitious person, but I'm afraid if I start celebrating my wealth or talking about it, telling the truth, that somehow I'm going to jinx it. Dave, can you comment on that?
Yeah. Yeah, because what I know about you, Marcia, is that you don't have that superstition in any other area of your life. You celebrate how wonderful your daughter is with no fear of jinxing her. You celebrate your husband and what a great teacher he is and what a great man he is with no, you celebrate me. You celebrate your other friends. You celebrate the people in your life that you've contributed to. So I look around, and I think it didn't jinx any of that. It only grew it. It only made your daughter more wonderful, your husband more great, your friends more generous through that celebration and that acknowledgement.
Oh, that's really true. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Well, I appreciate your comments, and guessing that a few of you are wanting these next 12 ideas before we stop. So here they are. And again, these are in the order of what I recommend in order to become financially independent, so that you use all 12 of those before you get to the next 12. Now, idea 13 is to give away a lot of money. Give it away to your family, give it away to your friends, give it away to strangers, give it away to people that clean your room if you go to a hotel, people that serve you when you go to a restaurant. Don't stop at 15% tipping. Tip at 25% or 50%. Once in a while, tip at 100%. You say, well, I can't afford it. Well, yes, you can, because you're becoming more and more financially independent. And if you can't afford a 30% tip, go to a restaurant that costs 30% less than the restaurant you were going to. You can all afford a 30% tip. We can all afford that. Give away money to organizations. Have your organization give away money to organizations. Have the group that you're leading be financially generous. Idea number 14 is invest money very conservatively. Today I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm attending, along with the man who helps me manage my money, a conference for 3 days about investments. And the opening speaker this afternoon, the first thing she said was invest extraordinarily conservatively. And that's what I believe in. It takes so much money, excuse me, it takes so much energy to make money. And it takes a lot of attention not to spend it. So once you've saved it, be extraordinarily careful about how you invest it. Number 15, of course, have a will. Because you will die, and it's so much fun before you die to decide how you're going to disperse this huge amount of money you have. Now, I realize that some of you right now don't have a point of view that you have a huge amount of money. Although I know most of you have quite a little nest egg. Even those of you who don't think you have a nest egg, I believe you do. But most of you want to accumulate more and more before you die, to the point where you can actually have enough to retire very comfortably and not have to work. That was Alex's definition of financial independence, which is a positive cash flow without working. So in order to get there, I say make a will, which is a plan of how you're going to dispose of it when you die. Idea 16. Talk to your children about it. Now, I know a few of you don't have children, but then find other young people to talk to so that you're not just talking to your friends, but you're actually passing on your wisdom about achieving financial independence. You're passing it on to others. Number 17, examine what you know about money. I want to put know in quotation marks. Make a long list of what you know about money. If we had another hour on this call, or the next time we do this, I've taught this financial independence on a whole series of calls. And when we have more time, what we do is actually have you all make a list of what you know about money. But you can do it without me here. You can do it on your own. And then once you've made that list of what you know about money, question everything on the list. Because I believe that a lot of it is just not true. Idea 18, reprogram your wants. Your wants and your desires, financial, material wants and desires, please begin to reprogram them so that what you want is what you want, not what the advertisers want you to want. 19, learn from other people about money and financial independence. Debtors Anonymous, a wonderful organization. Consumer Credit Counseling, a wonderful organization. Lots of great books. I mentioned one of them, Your Money or Your Life by Vicki Robin. Another dear friend of mine wrote a book called The Soul of Money by Lynn Twist. Both books, wonderful. Learn from others about money. Number 20, share your failures. So not only would you share about your current financial state, but you would actually tell people about the failures you've had. In detail. Not everybody, of course not. Number 21, share your successes. For a few of you, that'll even be harder than number 20, sharing your failures. Idea number 22, prepare yourself for abundance. Don't chase it. Don't run after it. Just prepare yourself for it. Now, how do you prepare yourself for abundance? Well, first of all, I think you have a plan for how you're going to spend it. And more importantly, you'll have a plan for how you're going to give it away. I believe that this idea had so much to do with my becoming wealthy, which is that I had a very clear plan for how I was going to give it away. Two more ideas. Number 23. Now, this is my second to the last idea. You know, really, I've given you my best thinking so far. But I've got one more, two more, and this one is not a really great idea, but I want it on the list because it's the idea that so many of you have as your only idea, which is to bring in a lot more money. Now, I don't think that's a terrible idea. I just think it's not a very good idea. It's a minor idea. It's an idea to be implemented after you implement all those other 22 ideas. And there's a lot of ways to do it, of course. You can win the lottery, you can go out and work harder, you can get a big raise, you can marry a rich person, blah, blah, blah. You can inherit a bundle, you can invent a new gizmo, you can start a new business. And I know that this is the traditional way that most people bring financial independence, and I don't think it's the best way. I actually think on a list of 23 ideas, it's the 23rd. So now, bring us around to idea number one, also idea number 24, and that's to operate with continual gratitude. Constant gratitude. So it is the top of the hour, and I know that ideally we would have had more comments and questions from you, but I really want to stop this call where I started it, which is to thank you for attending. And to ask you to not listen to these ideas that I presented as the truth, but rather use them to invent. Now, if you want to do more of this invention and creation, please attend our 3-day training, which is June 1, 2, and 3. We'll devote a whole third of that training to reaching financial independence as leaders. And also, our last call was on stress management. We'll devote about a third of the June training to that, and about a third of the training to solving your biggest problems, really coming up with a solution for any problem, a way to solve any problem. That's what we're going to focus on. That's also the focus of our next call. Joanne, I've kind of lost my place. Remind me and the other people, when is our next call?
Our next call is May 22nd. That's the call we had moved. We originally had it on Memorial Day, and it is now on May 22nd. And, Dave, I also wanted to ask people if they have coworkers or family or friends that might want to be on that call to invite them to be there, or if they'd like them to come to the workshop. Invite them to be there. And Bill and I are both going to hang around for a while after this call, so if anybody has questions, comments, they can give us a call. So I'd like to give you my number and have Bill give you his number. My number is 605-390-2275. Bill, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, yeah, and my number is 605-390-2343. So if I can be any more help to any of you around this call or anything in the future, I'll hang around a little bit tonight. You can call me as well.
Bill and Joanne can tell you more about the June training if you're interested, or those of you who are in the June training, if you've got any questions about logistics or scheduling, you can call them now also. Or of course, you can call them anytime, but they're available now. And in addition to these 3-day trainings, and the telecourses, we also offer 14-month programs for leaders, which include the trainings and the telecourses and one-on-one individual leadership coaching and mentoring. If you want to know more about that and our offerings there, please be in touch with us. You're welcome to turn this call over to other people. You can listen to it in about 5 minutes on iTunes. And thanks for joining. We had over 60 people on the call. I know it's a couple minutes past the hour, so I'll sign off. Really appreciate you being on the call and look forward to talking to you again. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.